CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount+, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Are you kidding me? Christian McCaffrey to the 49ers. This is awesome. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's supposed to be fantasy football today in five. We'll see how long this one goes. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg. Oh, man. Chris Towers is going to be upset that he's not working tonight. This is what you live for, reacting to a trade like this.
Wait, were you doing it by yourself?
Yeah, I was going to do it solo. I thought it was just going to be a game recap. I had no idea. And then we get this news that Christian McCaffrey going to the 49ers for second, a third, and a fourth round pick in 2023, and then another pick in 2024 as well.
They have like no picks next year.
49. Yeah, well, all right. So first of all, we don't know how much he's going to play this weekend. I don't know if it's the what.
Rappaport said that he's likely to play in some packages
in the red zone. Yeah. So I don't know that we're going to do start or sit with him just yet. It's only Thursday night right now. But let's just talk season long value up, down, or the same for McCaffrey.
I mean, it's hard for him to go up, you know. So I'm going to say same at best. Probably a slight decline, but not anywhere close to where he's going to be sat in any leagues. You know, this is clearly an offense that is going to be fantastic running ball. You know, my first thought was they always get hurt, the 49ers. Like every player always gets hurt. So I hope the training staff there is ready for, you know, keeping him upright. And then my second thought was, well, here we go. They have another leading rusher for the sixth year in a row under Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, wow. How about that? Nobody predicted it would be Christian McCaffrey,
right,
though.
You know, we thought it would be Trey Lance. I think, you know, first off, it really, to me, this is more about what's left in Carolina. If we're being, you know, just what's the impact? Because, you know, Jeff Wilson, you can't use him anymore. Elijah Mitchell, poor kid. Like, why did they send one of those guys back? Like, they could have just, you know, made this a little bit more easy on the Panther side of things. You know, throw back one of their running backs, Tyrion Davis Price, somebody. You know, give somebody a chance on a different roster. McCaffrey, you're still starting him. They clearly are fantastic running the ball. He should have the opportunity for more points. They should be able to throw him the ball quite a bit. And still be, you know, McCaffrey, you know. So is he going to catch 100 passes in this offense? I doubt it. You know, can he catch, you know, prorated 75 rest of season? That's still pretty good. He's a must-start guy in a better offense. So that's a great thing. And then, you know, the value goes down for Debo a little bit because, you know, why would you put him in the backfield anymore? Kittle's still fine. Ayuk is still fine. You know, I mean, you're not sitting Debo, but, you know, I just think you're losing the opportunity for him to get touched. I'm just working through this as I'm saying. You know, so I'm sorry.
Look, I mean, look, I'll throw it out this way. I think you could argue that everyone on the 49ers, including Christian McCaffrey, just lost value. Maybe McCaffrey to the least degree here, because this is a team that never throws to its running backs. And I think that's going to change. You don't acquire Christian McCaffrey to never throw it to your running back. And that just means fewer targets for everybody. You love the fact that they're going to figure out ways to scheme him and get him out into space and let him be amazing. But, you know, this could be really bad, I think. Because we've seen it's tough for that offense to sustain three guys, right? You know, week after week. They just don't throw that much. And now it's four guys. You never had to deal with this. a guy out of the backfield getting a lot of targets. The most catches in the last 4 years on San Francisco by running back is 33 by McKinnon. In 2017, first year
under Kyle Shanahan. Hyde's the most ever catch under
yeah, Shanahan. 59. That was 2017. That was the first year under Shanahan. Since then, 33 is the high for running back. But yeah, I mean, my gut reaction is that it's bad news for everyone on San Francisco except for McCaffrey and Garoppolo.
It's fair.
Just my
fair.
Gut.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I again, it's they're, how do you defend them at this point?
Yeah.
You know, because they, you know they were going to run on you with whoever was back there. Now they have still one of, if not the best running back in football. So there's that threat. You know, there's a lot of pressure on Garoppolo because he's going to have to support these guys and not make mistakes. Can you imagine if Trey Lance had become Trey Lance? And then making this move. So yeah, I guess to put a blanket statement on it, yes, they probably all lose value to whatever extent, but I don't think you're not sitting Kittle because of the position he plays. You're not sitting Debo until you see that he's going to really suffer. And you're not sitting McCaffrey. Ayuk was always a borderline guy to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, take that for what it's worth. And the flip side of this is, as we saw last week, and who knows if this continues, their defense is so beaten up.
Right. Oh, man. Please let him play a decent amount of snaps against the Chiefs. That would be so fun to see.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen. So we're going to break it down on the Friday morning show with Dave and Jamie. Let them debate it a little bit. Let's turn our attention to the Carolina Panthers. Both running backs are pretty widely available as we record this at 11:55 p.m. Eastern.
Not in our league. It was a mad race.
You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I looked before everyone else basically in our leagues, and I passed, you know, in a few leagues that they were available. How do you feel about them? It's not a great situation here.
It's an awful situation. And so take that for what it's worth. Like, I picked up, and here's the crappy thing is I had a lot of Chuba Hubbard last week when this rumor was out there, and I dropped him this week in a lot of leagues. Just to see the way that I view it is, I think I said this at some point during the week. I don't remember if it was on our podcast or on HQ, that the thought would be if you're making this move, not necessarily from a tanking standpoint, but what do you need to see from Deontay Foreman? He's not part of your future. Chuba Hubbard's not your feature back moving forward, but he might be a third down back depending on how the direction you go with your next running back that you add. You know, if you're not adding a McCaffrey-like guy, you're not adding a three down threat. If that's the route you go, maybe Hubbard could place on pass downs. He's not been good. Foreman showed a little bit last year. He's not been good. You know, so in a situation where they're chasing points and they're throwing every pass behind the line of scrimmage essentially right now.
Yeah. Makes it interesting.
I would think Hubbard has a slight edge if he's going to play on pass downs, but we just don't know. So, you know, it's the way I would view it is half and non PPR, I'd probably lean toward Foreman. Full PPR, I lean toward Hubbard. Don't drop anybody of significance for him. Like in a 10 team league, the only player that I dropped just because he's on a bye and I'll probably try to get him back next week was Alexander Mattison. Cause it's shallow league. That was the, you know, I dropped Cam Akers in one league. Cause I was just waiting to see if he was gonna get traded. I dropped Russell Wilson where I benched him essentially and not going to play him.
Yeah.
You know, these are the type of players that I dropped him for. Naeem Hines in one league where I had a lot of running back depth.
See, that's an interesting one. Cause I was going to, it was either going to be Samaje Perine or Hubbard or Foreman.
Perine's easy.
No, but it wasn't easy for me because I have Joe Mixon and I have like enough running backs where I don't think I'm ever going to start Chuba Hubbard. And I just thought, you know, I would hate to drop Perine, have Mixon get injured, and then Perine would be so much more appealing than Chuba Hubbard is right now. I just said, like, you know what? Forget it. I just don't see
but
myself.
You're playing out a scenario of Mixon getting hurt for an extended period of time or the season.
Yeah. I just don't think that these running backs are going to be all that useful, personally. So
you say that, and I'm with you because the situation is that bad. But Mike Davis 2 years ago was a serviceable fantasy.
He's the only guy, though.
True. Last year it was.
Last year it was bad with Chuba Hubbard. You know, I think it was okay at the start, but. Then they started working. I can't remember who they started working at. Amir Abdullah. You know, I didn't want to drop upside. I would have dropped a boring.
Yeah, I don't know if Perine is what I would consider upside.
Fair.
Because you could have two starters for your fantasy team as opposed to waiting out Mixon's injury.
Do you think this helps DJ Moore? Here it comes. DJ Moore.
No.
Yeah. Right. That's a lot of targets, you know. I mean, it's pretty much all they're doing is throwing to McCaffrey.
Yeah, let Darnold play and let's see what happens. You know, Heath was funny on HQ today. He said, "I couldn't wait for Sam Darnold to get out of the lineup to help DJ Moore. Now I'm begging for Sam Darnold to come back and help DJ Moore." I mean, they're a dumpster fire, you know. So someone's going to get work there. I would just like I said, lean toward Hubbard in passing situations. But you know, if you value somebody on your fantasy team, in your case, you know, Samaje Perine, that's a pretty low floor. So you're not making a move.
I think most people will probably drop Samaje Perine, but for Chuba Hubbard. But here, let me ask you this: let's say McCaffrey got traded tonight, and Joe Mixon were out for the year. You know, I hope that doesn't happen. Then who would you have picked up if Perine?
Oh, you're right.
Right.
That's my
philosophy here. Is I'm just for a rainy day, basically.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I also think, you know, barring, you know, Mixon getting hurt this weekend, you have an opportunity to see it unfold. You know, so you have a good chance of getting Perine back.
Yeah.
Barring Mixon injury.
You know,
you're not gonna get one of these guys.
I'm looking at the Panthers' run schedule. They've got some pretty easy run defenses coming up.
Not this weekend,
but they got Atlanta twice. Not sure about their running. It's not very good. The Bengals have been bad without DJ Reader, as I mentioned on the podcast. Baltimore's been a bad run defense. Denver's been a bad run defense. Seattle. Pittsburgh's been a good run defense. Detroit in week 16. They got some good matchups. I don't know if they'll be able to take
it. Oh, that's going to be a fun conversation in the fantasy playoff. Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at that's about it for that game, for that scenario. Let's take a look at Thursday Night Football. This was incredible. 42-34, the final score. Andy Dalton with a massive game. Started in 3% of leagues. 34.
For both teams?
Yeah, he threw six total touchdowns.
You want to know what was fun? I'm curious to talk to Dave tomorrow. So Dave's MVP on DraftKings, on the lineups we gave on HQ, his MVP was the Cardinals DST. Mm. And my MVP was Juwan Johnson.
And very good.
I have to check to see how the rest of my lineup worked. Kyler did not help. Nah. Who would have thought that they scored that many points and Kyler Murray's the dud?
Yeah. And who would have thought they would have had such success running the ball near the goal line? You know, Ingram and Benjamin both getting in and there are so many fantasy storylines here, but what really stood out to you in this game, Arizona and New Orleans?
Jameis Winston will be back as a starting quarterback for the Saints next week, most likely. Look, Chris Olave, you know, we'll stay with New Orleans. Chris Olave, another great performance for him. Shattering the number one receivers, can't do well against the Cardinals. Juwan Johnson, if Troutman stays out, I think can be a streaming option. I like what I saw from him. Don't throw to Marcus Callaway in traffic. I wouldn't do that again. Kamara still fine, you know, with Dalton. You'll see what happens with Jameis from a reception standpoint. For the Cardinals, look, welcome back DeAndre Hopkins. He was just fed over and 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 over.
Yes, he was.
So that's fun. And maybe rest James Conner another week.
Yeah, you know, one thing that, first of all, I really think those guys are quite possibly better for the Cardinals than Connor. You know, I'd rather see, you know, Benjamin out there at this point. I don't know what's going to happen, but this can't be good news for Connor, right? You've got to at least give Benjamin a little bit more work when Connor comes back.
You know, if there is a bright side for Connor, you go back to what he was with Chase Edmonds last year. He wasn't what he was when he was without Chase Edmonds, when he was a top three running back in that five-game stretch. But he was scoring touchdowns. The offense was moving the ball. So, you know, if he has that role with a little bit more work, then you could feel comfortable about him at least as a number two running back again. But for now, yeah, I would agree. You know, Benjamin looks the part more so than Connor looks the part.
Like, one thing that disappointed me is just, again, you look at this Cardinals offense and they just don't get any big plays. And DeAndre Hopkins certainly did not help that. He was just...
Well, Benjamin had a big run.
Passing plays, sorry. They did have a 31-yard pass to Rondale Moore at the very beginning of the game. on a scramble was a really nice play by Kyler Murray. But that was Rondale's only catch of the game. And yeah, it's just, this is, I think this is my theory about them. Well, I know this is my theory. You know, they can move the ball, but because they get so few big plays and because they have so few air yards, their drives stall. And they didn't really today because they finally were able to run the ball. But I think this is what's holding them back and holding Kyler Murray back to a degree. This is four games for Kyler Murray with fewer than 20 fantasy points. Three very good games, four kind of not so great games. But yeah, Hopkins didn't help that. He was a very reliable possession receiver, 10 catches for 103 yards on 14 targets, but nothing downfield. We'll see if that changes as they get more on the same page.
Well, it's also, I think, you know, they realize that with Marquise going down, he was probably going to be that guy for them with Hopkins on the field, which is why they go get Robbie Anderson, you know, so yeah. Find a guy that can run and maybe take some shots down the field and see what that, you know, turns into. If you feel like your team is playoff bound at this point, you know, 4-2, 5-1, 6-0, going to 7-1, 7-0, whatever the case may be, and the Kyler Murray fantasy manager is frustrated, if Marquise Brown does only miss a month and you get that quarterback for what he could be in the playoffs, not a bad move to make, you know, trying to see if you can acquire him cheap.
All right, that's going to do it for Fantasy Football Today in 15. Thank you to Jamie for hopping on and for all of you for waiting patiently and listening to our spiel. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Starter Sit for the AFC home games. See ya.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.